Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
We can look around at ourselves, we can look at the vast need of our city, and we can feel like that. What is this among so many? The need is so vast and the need is so great. But are we looking to us to meet that need? I love the fact that Andrew continually was bringing people to Jesus. We've talked about this many times. This is one of my favorite Bible stories, and I say that every week, but this does happen to be one of my favorite. I just love the fact that Andrew's just a cool guy, man. He's kind of a people dude, and he probably made friends with this little guy, you know? He's probably just hanging out, talking with him. He's just kind of a people guy. Andrew brings Peter, and Peter gets saved. And Andrew's just cool with the shadows, man. He's not worried about it. He just keeps bringing people to Jesus. It doesn't matter whether it's his older brother or it doesn't matter who. He doesn't care who it is. He just keeps bringing people to Jesus. What a great thing to make as a habit, just to be bringing people to Jesus. He says, man, this little guy I met, what is this amongst this vast, great need? You and I can get focused on what we have to present, or we can do exactly what this lesson teaches us to do. And Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number, about 5,000. So they only numbered the guys, so there's probably at least 10,000 people there. If there's 5,000, because there's women and children, so that bare minimum, there's that. And it's just a large crowd of people. Now remember, Jesus is he's wanting to feed, right? And look at how he does things kind of decently and in order. Isn't that awesome? It's kind of decently and in order. Our little tiny guys meet in the rooms over to the other side, not because we don't love them. We want them to be ministered to in an environment that they can grow and they can flourish and that they can develop in their relationship with the Lord. And Jesus wants us to grow, but distraction's a big human condition problem. And, you know, I don't even hear kids very much like on the plane when they're crying or anything, because you know what? They're not mine. It just doesn't worry me. It just doesn't bother me that much. It's not mine. It's not my responsibility. But man, when any of my three were carrying on or something, I was all over it, you know? It's a parental thing. It's just one of those deals. And I guess when you get a lot older, then all of them just bug you. I don't know. But I haven't gotten to that point yet. I don't even hear it, but if it were my own, so I think that's the same in our gatherings. And so we kind of have this, everybody's getting ministered to, hopefully decently and in order. We see that. We see that the Lord said, hey, get everybody sit down in the grass out here. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, so Jesus took what there was. What are these among so many? Whatever it was, he took what it was, and he blessed it. He gave thanks for it. Key is, get it to Jesus. Whatever it is, just get it to Jesus and let Jesus do something with it. Even if it seems like it's not enough. Even if it seems like, what would you do with this? Man, may the Lord help us to see past ourselves and just to trust him. Because God can do awesome stuff if we get it into his hands and let him have it. Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. So Jesus blessed it, and we get it to the Lord. We give it into his hands. And then he blesses it. He gives it back to us as his people and says, now you do this with it. So we're still a part of all this process. We're engaged in this ministry to the masses. We're engaged in that. All of us are engaged in that because we bring whatever it is that we have to Him. And we ask Him to bless that. Lord, you take it. It's yours. And He says, okay, great. Now you take this and do this. Now, this is a dynamic that I only know to be true in the realm of the Spirit, and it's a God thing. It just works this way. It's a kingdom deal. It's just the way God's economy works. You, everybody can sit around and punch their calculator and it just doesn't work. I don't know what to tell you. It does. In the Lord, it does work. God just has a wonderful way of putting things together and making things happen. The disciples, taken this, they distributed it, and the disciples gave it out to those people who are sitting around, and the fish they did the same thing with, as much as they wanted. In the feeding, God just gave in abundance. There was just plenty to go around. There was no limited amount. It was just abundance. And therefore, they gathered up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. You know, you kind of wonder about some little things sometimes. You ever think about the 12 baskets? You know, there's these 12 disciples and their 12 baskets. Can you imagine if you were one of the disciples and you were, you're just kind of along for the ride. You'd be thinking the same thing. Andrew just went ahead and said it, what everybody else was thinking. What are these among so many? You know, he just was the mouthpiece. They're all thinking the same thing, you know, waiting to kind of figure out, well, I wonder how this is going to go. But he went ahead and said it, and everybody got to gather up these fragments in 12 baskets. And this was from the 5 barley loaves and the fish. And this is after everybody had eaten and they were filled to the max. They were completely maxed out. They gather these fragments up and there's nothing. It says, so that when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. When God doesn't waste anything, they gather up all these fragments. And can you imagine looking at these heaping baskets of leftovers? And every disciple's got to look at the same his own basket in front of them, thinking, yeah, we agreed with Andrew. What are these among so many? And look at what God does. What a statement of faith. Jesus just said, trust me. Trust me. What a statement of faith. For they've got to look at this big mounding basket. It makes no sense whatsoever. And each one of them got to look at their own basket. Everybody got stuff. We start out with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit right in any kind of an accounting process. It just doesn't match except for the God factor. God can do it. It's who do we trust? Who's our agent at work? We can limit things so much by allowing ourselves to run our own agency. You know, let God be the agent. Let Him be at work. Let Him do it and just let Him have His way. And those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, he said, truly, this is the prophet who has come into the world. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take Him by force and make Him king, he departed again to the mountain by Himself alone. Jesus took off. Now, he doesn't fear them. He's not freaked out about that. That's not the thing. It's that there's a great misconception of wanting to make Him king because of what He's done and not acknowledge. They want to make Him king of their world. Jesus is already king. The Magi came and said, where is the king of the Jews that was born unto you? He's already king. Jesus is king. He rules in a spiritual realm, and he is already king. They're wanting to make it their world. Now, the tendency is, this gets kind of interesting when you think of Jesus in another gospel telling them sternly, the disciples, get in the boat and head over to the other side. He split for the mountain. This is how this ties together. He split for the mountain. These people in their worldly mindset want to make him king of a worldly thing. He's already king of something. The disciples could get caught up with that too. Yes, let's make him worldly king. This is awesome. But this is what can happen with us. We can have that same mindset of wanting him to rule in a way that we think he should rule instead of acknowledging that he is king. He is already king of the spiritual realm. He rules and reigns already, and we just have been invited to be a part of his kingdom. Not asking him to be king of a worldly world, you know? That's not what Jesus came to do. So he takes off, and he tells the disciples, you know, you don't need to be thinking that way. Get in the boat. You don't need to get caught up in that kind of mindset. Get in the boat and go over there, and I'll catch up with you later. Now, you remember as this story goes on, they freak out. And this is common. I freak out. You freak out. We all freak out when we think, oh, great. So I read the word. I did exactly what the Bible says, and now I feel like I'm getting jacked. Great. You know, that it just happens in our mindset. I'm out in the middle. I'm out by faith. I'm out in the middle. It's deep. And now all of a sudden, this radical tempest starts up. This big storm sets in. The wind starts blowing. Some of these guys are pretty vet, you know, seafaring fellows. So this is kind of business as usual. These big storms, these big wind storms would come up out of the canyon and blow down on the water, and just it'd create a lot of wave action and a lot of things tossing and turning, kind of like a squall. Sometimes we've seen squalls on water before, and how it sets in suddenly. And this is what happened to them. Evening, it's evening time. The disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had about come, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because of a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. When they were afraid, but Jesus said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Now, there's a lot to that story in other gospel. Matthew's account, chapter 14, beginning with about verse 22, there's a lot to this story about him sternly telling them, get in the boat, go to the other side, that type of concept that we need to embrace. But he also said in verse 20, where it says, "It is I, do not be afraid," he says, "Be of good cheer." That was the first thing he said to them in the other account. Be of good cheer. Why? We so often, in our trial, in our struggle, are so gripped with the fear that we forget to be of good cheer. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't come and minister directly to the fear. He just says, no, be of good cheer. He's building faith into their lives. He's wanting them to readjust their focus and to know that God is in control. The Father's in control. Jesus is in control. We can trust him. Be of good cheer. Now, that's the weirdest thing that you know, just somebody telling you that. You're all freaked out. It's stormy. You think you're going to lose your life. Be of good cheer. That just doesn't make any sense. Except from God's perspective. He's basically just saying, trust me. Be of good cheer. Everything's fine. You're just freaked out. But everything's fine. You know, I love this at its conclusion. One, you may be going through a trial or a struggle, facing a dark time in your life. It happens. It happens to all of us. One of the things that we've found in this, those of us who have a few miles with the Lord and gone through some dark days, is that he always shows up right on time. In our world, it might be the 59th second of the 59th minute of the 11th hour. In our world, I know that. But he steps in right in time. And right on time. God knows your need. And if you're looking to him to care for you and to meet that, then he's going to do it. He has perfect timing. Perfect. I guess the thing is are we fearful or are we cheerful? You know? What's my focus? Perfect love, the Bible says, casts out all fear. Are we fearful? Are we cheerful? Are we trusting in the Lord? Usually the fear comes from and when I experience fear, it's usually just because I'm focused on the circumstance or the event, and I become absorbed in that situation and engrossed in that, and I lose sight of the fact that God's completely in control. I love this in verse 21. They willingly received him into the boat. They willingly received him. I wonder if that's how we are. We willingly receptive of the Lord in a time of trouble? They receive him into the boat, the little boat. They're in trouble, and they receive him into the situation. They receive the Lord. Receive the Lord into your troubled waters, into your difficult time. Receive the Lord. Receive him. Don't reject his counsel. Don't reject his... Receive him in the situation. And immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going. And immediately, it wasn't some held off situation. It was immediate God moved in the matter. As soon as they receive him, receiving the Lord into the situation, God moved. And we need to trust the Lord in that kind of a way. One last thought before we close it out this morning. The abundance of the blessing was seen by the disciples as they were actively engaged in serving the Lord. The abundance of the blessing was seen by and experienced by the disciples as they were engaged in serving and ministering with the Lord. The abundance of the blessing. Oftentimes, we don't equate our service to the Lord. We can get shifted into dutiful, and dutiful isn't where the blessing is. The blessing is in serving the Lord. We see God move in such a way, and we see the abundance of his presence and his blessing. And so often, that's what my heart's desire is. I don't seek personally your service so much as I seek the blessing that goes to your account from when you're engaged in ministry. Because being engaged in ministry is where the blessing is flowing into the believer's life. Not from the sideline vantage point, though the people were fed and they were ministered to. But those that were ministering to them got to experience the abundance of the 12 baskets. They got to watch God take 5 loaves and the 2 fish. They got to watch Jesus as they brought that to him and said, "Man, Lord, this is all we got. This is all we've got. This is all I've got." Great. Not a problem. Let me have it. Whatever it is, just let him have it. He takes it. He blesses it. He then gives it back for redistribution. He doesn't take us out of the equation. He engages us in what he's doing. And then as he does that, we get to be a part. We watch the miraculous as we keep handing out loaf after fish, after loaf after fish, after loaf after, and just keep handing this out. Over it, thousands of times over, they keep handing this stuff out. Everybody's filled, and that word filled was glutted. They were maxed out. They were just completely stuffed. That's what that word filled means. Stuffed to the max. Couldn't eat another slice of pizza. Done. Maybe I'm having pizza today. I don't know. I'm thinking about it a lot, talking about it a lot, feeling it. But you get that idea. They're just filled absolutely to the max. And then they gather up these baskets just mounding with more. Now, they knew what maybe the crowd didn't know. They knew. Wow. Dude, did you see that? I just read this stuff and I get really excited. I really do, because I see God do this stuff all the time. And I just think, man, God, you're just too much. I don't know how you do this. It doesn't make any sense to me. I just love to watch it happen, though. Because it is so indescribably perfectly God that there's no way that could be explained away any other way, just God. And all of a sudden, they're looking at these heaping baskets that they've gathered back up. And it's like, wow, dude, we started with a couple of fish and five loaves. Everybody's full. There's 5,000 men out there. There's got to be at least 10,000, maybe more. Everybody's full. And look at what's left. Look at what we've gathered up that's left. So not only does God move and do things in an abundant, awesome way, but there is overflow. Not only does God do things in a radical, abundant way, but there is overflow. The people that got to really see that, the people that got to really savor that, the people that got to really enjoy that, were the ones that were engaged in ministry. The ones that were serving. So the serving isn't this place of, oh gosh, man, what a drag. Got to do this, got to do that, got to do, you know. No, man, it's where you get to see God. And this is not cited only here. This is not cited only here. This is cited as we saw the Holy of Holies. We saw the tribes, the servant tribes parked all the way around the four sides of the tabernacle of meeting in the wilderness. Those four servant tribes were the closest tribes to observe the Shekinah glory, the very presence of God, the glory of God. See, I'm sharing this with you by way of just simple biblical truth. It's not, I only want the, I want you to enjoy and to see the blessing of God in abundance as we serve Him together, as we reach our city and our communities together. Yeah, okay, cool. We've only got five loaves and two little fish. And yeah, I agree. It seems like, what are these among so many? But let's not deal God out of the picture. Let's give it to Jesus. The word tells us we are strong. We're few, but we are strong. In the scope of the big picture, we are few, but we are strong when you surround us. Speaking of God, when God surrounds us, man, there's nothing stopping it.
Thank you for tuning in today and for listening to the radio program, for listening to God's Word. And I know God has a perfect plan for your life, and it starts, really, by giving our hearts to the Lord. If you've not given your heart to the Lord, or you're just in a place where you have a sense that you're distant from God, and you just want to open your life up to the Lord, you know, the Word says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great to know that we have a God that's full of grace and mercy, that He's willing to pardon all of our sin, to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness? It's a simple prayer, just to give your life to Jesus. Man, all things become new when we give our lives to the Lord. If you just pray this simple prayer along with me, Jesus, I want to open my heart up to You. I want to ask that You would forgive me of my sin, my unrighteousness, that You would pardon me. I thank You so much for that grace and mercy that You've shown me. Lord, thank You for the love that put You on the cross, that You did that willingly for me. And Lord, again, I just open my heart to You. I receive You as my personal Lord and my Savior. And I thank You for that free gift of everlasting life that You've given me. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.